This is the Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio, and we're visiting with Tony Berend and Keith Murphy. Their new album is called On the Banks of Coldbrook, Atwood Family Songs from the Hills of Vermont. Coldbrook was the name of the house.
And still is the name of the house in which Edith Sturgis lived with her husband. And we really got a lot of this information and help from members of the Sturgis family. There are six of Edith Sturgis's granddaughters live up in the area, and great-granddaughters, and we got a lot of material from them. So Coldbrook was where the Sturgis family, where Edith Sturgis lived, and I don't think James Atwood probably didn't have enough money to have a house have a name.
Right.
Tony and I went and visited this home with some of Edith's granddaughters, the woman who collected the music, maybe a year and a half ago or more. And as Tony said, it was the family's summer home. And part of the property is what they call a playhouse. And across a field from the home is this building, which is a small theater. And the family, perhaps kind of in keeping, you know, with what families of that sort of social nature did, you know, they were very theatrical and musical, and they would, the family would sometimes write and perform plays for each other. And in fact, this theater has a lovely stage and dressing rooms off to the side, and an old funky grand piano. We don't know when the piano arrived there. But it was a really wonderful thing for Tony and I to do when we were in the process of learning these songs and kind of researching the background to them, to go to this playhouse where undoubtedly these songs would have been sung. You know, the Atwoods, James Atwood and his family probably would have come to visit the Sturgis family and would have at some point sung these songs in that playhouse.
When are you going to do the movie?
Well, we're in talks right now with a Hollywood studio.
Keith Murphy is a former member of the group Nightingale, also a faculty member at the Brattleboro Music Center in Brattleboro, and also the organizer for the Northern Roots Festival. So the Northern Roots Festival in the planning stages, happening January 28th of 2012?
That's right. Yep. We're in full swing getting ready for that festival. And once again, we sort of feature a lot of the local talent in Brattleboro, of which there is a great deal in the traditional music scene. Tony will be there, and many others, myself and my wife Becky Tracy, the fiddle player, and Lissa Schneckenberger, Corey DeMario, Ethan Hazard Watkins, a lot of our local luminaries, and a number of our friends from a little further afield. So the festival, once again, is shaping up to be a really great day, this Saturday, as you say, at the end of January the 28th, a great day of small performances and teaching workshops and jam sessions at a pub nearby, and then a gala concert in the evening, most happening primarily at the New England Youth Theater in Brattleboro.
And more immediately, Child's Play is underway. Are you involved with Child's Play as well?
Yes. Yep. Child's Play will be doing its annual tour. In fact, Tony and I were just chatting on the way over because Tony, of course, is about to do Noel Sing We Clear. And we're going to be in Boston the same weekend, Child's Play and Noel Sing We Clear. But for those people who don't know, Child's Play, of course, is the big fiddle ensemble based in Boston. Tied together by Bob Childs, the fiddle maker. All the fiddle players in Childs play instruments made by Bob Childs. And so that's always a really wonderful event, you know, bringing all these different fiddle players together. And we'll do our tour actually starting in New York City and going to Portland, Maine, and then through Boston.
This is the Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio, and our guests in the studio, Keith Murphy and Tony Berend. Let's play another tune, or you play another tune, and then we'll come back. I want to talk a little bit to Tony about what folks can expect with Noel Sing We Clear as the season gets closer and closer.
let's do a song about death, since we have so many of those.
Oh, right. Good.
At one point, my son was excitedly counting the number of deaths that we rack up on this CD. And this one has just a single modest death in it. I was thinking that we would do Daily Growing.
The trees, they are tall, and the leaves, they are green. Many a time my true love I've seen. Many an hour have I passed all alone. My bonny lad's a long time growing. Oh, father, you've done me great harm. You've married me to a boy that's too young. For I'm twice 12 and he's but 14. He's young, but he's daily growing. Oh, daughter, I've done you no harm. I've married you to the rich lord's son. And he will make a lord for you to wait upon. He's young, but he's daily growing. Oh, father, if you see fit, I'll send him to college for 1 year yet. I'll bind a blue ribbon all about his hat to let the maids know he is married. As I looked down from my father's castle wall, there I saw the boys a-playing with their ball. My own true love was the flower of them all. He's young, but he's daily growing. I made him a shirt of the finest of lawn, sewed it all with my own lovely hand. And with every stitch, the tears came flowing down. He's young, but he's daily growing. At the age of 14, he was a married man. At the age of 15, the father of a son. At the age of 16, his grave, it was green. And that put an end to his growing.
Daily Growing, a tune from the new work from Tony Barron and Keith Murphy here on the Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio. That's just such a sad song. Well, she's 24 years old and she has to marry a 14-year-old and then he dies at 16. That's really sad.
Yeah.
There's a verse in another version of that song, an English version, that has one morning in the month of May, this couple went a-walking or for to sport and play, and what they did there she never would declare, but she never more complained of his growing.
Tony Barron and Keith Murphy are guests in the studio at New Hampshire Public Radio. Do we know anything about James Atwood's roots?
A little. It seems we haven't completely identified his grandfather, but it seems that he was English, and first generation English came over to America, that he's the one that actually emigrated. And his name was, we think, Anthony, and his father, John Atwood, is also buried in West Dover, Vermont. So clearly they were in West Dover quite a long time. It's where James was born and brought up. And anyway, so more than that, I can't say. But the repertoire certainly seems as if it has connections to English repertoire. There's a song like the song Rainodine isn't found a lot in this country, but it's, I would say, definitely of English origin. There's a song about the highwayman Dick Turpin, whom I remember learning about in school, and there were signs all in all the local pubs, you know, saying Dick Turpin slept here at some point. He was a famous highwayman, though. Keith has identified that, in fact, the story of Dick Turpin was made up based upon a novel. But he was clearly an English highwayman, and songs about Dick Turpin really would only come from England, and so on. And you can track a lot of the songs as really having English roots, but, you know, nothing's definite.
So James Atwood credited with singing the music, bringing the music, and the Sturgis family actually captured the music, and then Margaret MacArthur kind of recovered the music, and Tony Barron and Keith Murphy have captured it in this recording, this new recording on the banks of Colebrook, Atwood family songs from the hills of Vermont. It's just fascinating.
That was very nicely put. Thank you.
It's true, though. I mean, the way that you said that, it does sort of highlight for me a phenomenon kind of in a lot of these songs and these versions of songs that I've come to think about more in studying this repertoire. That just, you know, like all of these songs, you know, at so many different points along the way over time could have been dropped or fallen, you know, could have fallen into the mists of time, you know, if Edith hadn't collected those songs from James, if Margaret hadn't found that old collection, you know, if we hadn't picked up on them again. I mean, you know, songs kind of, they kind of follow all these different paths. And of course, there's many people out there kind of singing folk songs and recovering songs. But it kind of struck me how sort of fragile a lot of this tradition is.
As a folklorist, Tony Barron, this is probably isn't new to you. I find it very fascinating, but this is something that you've probably seen over and over.
Yes, but it is still incredibly fascinating to me that these songs and dances and the tales, too, have a way. It's true they are fragile, although the occasions and the communities that keep them are the ones that are in some ways even more fragile, because those really disappear. But these songs and dances have a way of cropping up again. It's almost as if these songs, you know, called to us both, and it's like, hey, nobody sings these songs, which is basically true, that they sort of disappeared except for when Margaret picked them up, sang them and recorded them, and then they'd be gone because, you know, it's very hard to get a copy of that old 1919 book. So it's like they seem like they have ways of calling to people to keep them alive.
One of the songs, I think it was one of the last tracks, maybe Posy Boy, is a song that I think I've heard my mother sing.
Yeah, that's likely.
It's the tale of investment gone wrong.
Okay.
Where he buys, he keeps buying animals and trades them in for smaller animals, and he keeps losing his money.
And a tradition of the season is Noel Sing Me Clear. And Tony Barron, how long have you been with Noel Sing Me Clear?
37 years.
Are you kidding me?
No. John Roberts and I were singing for about 42 years now. And,
wow.
And it was about 5 years into that we met Fred Brunig, and at the time Steve Woodruff was the other dance musician. We were all involved with the dance one way or another, either the contra dancing or the Morris dancing, and started. I had gone to a concert at the headquarters of the English Folk Dance and Song Society in London and seen a show that had been about these two different kinds of Christmas music, one being the traditional story of Christmas, of Jesus being born in Bethlehem, etc., etc., and then the other being a set of songs that have nothing at all to do with Christmas as such, certainly nothing to do with Jesus, and they're really about, they come out of the pagan roots of Christmas, which it was a very successful pagan holiday, and continued and continues in some ways exactly that way. So I culled these songs out, and we put it together with one set that was about the Christmas story and another set that was about the pagan stuff and a mummer's play that went in between, somebody who dies and is brought back to life, which is one of the very vigorous surviving traditions. And we put that together, and then after 10 years, Steve headed out to California, and we lucked out in finding Andy Davis at that point, and he's been doing it for this point, oh gosh, how many years would it be? Well, 27 years.
How many shows do you do each year?
It averages 9 now, though we're doing 10 this year, and there were times when we were young and foolish that we did 14 or 15. It could average probably, it's probably getting on for 400 shows now that we've done.
Back in my day.
Back in my day.
Well, it really is just a great part of the holiday season. And I know you're going to be at the Dublin Community Church.
We're at Dublin Community Church, smack in the middle of Dublin, up on top of the hill. There on the December the 9th, right, we'll be at the Dublin Church.
Presented by the Monadnock Folklore Society. Yeah, so yeah. Folks can go to their website or check our calendar and we'll have the information.
Or they can go look at noelsingmeclear.com.
So, Tony, now that this project is done, the last album is out, you're out promoting it a little bit. I know there's been all kinds of activity around this project, Sing Out magazine article, and also your the CDSS,
the Country Dance Song Society.
The newsletter had a really nice article that you wrote about the project. Mm-hmm. That's done, and you're going to be doing work with the Northern Roots Festival. You're on the faculty of the Brattleboro Music Center. What other things are you involved with these
days? Keith and I are working on, there will be another piece come out on the Atwood songs because of all the other songs that are from Fred Atwood. And we've been, because we were so impressed with what happens when you look at the repertoire of one singer, we went looking for other New England singers and found a woman called Carrie Grover in Bethel, from Bethel, Maine. And she herself wrote down probably 50 or 60 songs and had someone publish them in a book. And they're largely ignored, although there is one song from it on, what's it, on the Irish?
Oh, yes, that's right. A classic recording from Paul Brady.
Paul Brady.
Paul Brady actually found this collection back in the 70s, and a couple of his songs, Arthur McBride, actually came from this collection of songs in Maine.
And how old are those songs?
Well, they come from Nova Scotia originally, so...
Right. I mean, like the Atwoods, the songs from the Grovers probably, you know, the origins of them span several centuries. I expect that, you know, the Arthur McBride song, for example, might have been a 19th century song, but I'm just guessing.
Keith, other projects for you? Child's Play, the Northern Roots Festival, this project, and you're working on the Atwood.
Yeah. I've been doing more solo work and sort of focusing on... songs from Newfoundland being the place, part of Canada that I'm from. So I've been doing more of those songs and doing that solo show.
And I know you did some work with David Surrett.
That's right. Yep. David and I have had occasion to kind of do a little bit of work together recently, which is always a great pleasure. I'll just say, though, another sort of spin-off project for myself and Tony has been doing these Atwood songs, but in the original arrangements, which when the book was published in 1919, Shermer, being primarily a classical music publisher, published these songs with piano settings that were very elaborate, you know, very kind of classical, almost sort of art song style arrangements, which were, you know, a setting that I wasn't about to sort of take on when Tony and I first started going through these songs. We just worked from the melodies, and I kind of created my own harmonies and arranged it on piano in kind of a more folk way, I suppose. But we have a friend in Brattleboro, Susan Dedell, who's a serious classical piano player. And Tony and I recently did a concert in Brattleboro with Susan, with her playing those original piano arrangements, which just completely transform these songs, give them a whole other sound. And that was quite an undertaking for us because, you know, singing the songs changed completely for us. So that was one of the fun projects for us this fall.
Kind of a stretch for you.
It was, because, you know, with those piano arrangements, you really have to sing differently, and the cues for when you come in and everything is very different. So it was a stretch for both of us, yeah.
Tony Berend and Keith Murphy are our guests in the studio here on the Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio. Their new album is On the Banks of Coldbrook, Atwood Family Songs from the Hills of Vermont, and they are going to be doing even more, and so we'll be looking for that. Could you play one last piece for us? And before you do, though, maybe we should give people the website if folks want to find out more information about what you're up to.
Well, people could go to my website, which is Black Isle Music, and there's listings there for this recording and other events that Tony and I might be doing. So it's blackislemusic.com, Black Isle being part of Scotland, where my family originated. So blackgodmusic.com, that would be the place to go, and people can order CDs there also.
And for more information about Noel Sing We Clear?
Noel Sing We Clear. Wait, Noel is spelled N-O-W-E-L-L. I got an email from a friend who has seen the show probably for 35 years, or maybe all of the 37 years, sent me an email saying, so when's Noel this year that was spelled N-O-E-L? And I wrote back and said, what's Noel?
Yeah.
It sounds like a French show. We only do English carols and song. So N-O-W-E-L-L, singweclear.com. Yeah.
Thank you, gentlemen, for coming in.
Our pleasure, Kate. Thank you so much for having
this
us.
This is we'll finish with a version of the Wedding of the Frog and the Mouse. There was a frog lived in the spring.
Sing song, Paddy, won't you kai me yo?
Had such a cold that he could not sing.
Sing song, Paddy, won't you kai me yo? Kai mo kero, dato kero, kai mo kero, kai mo. Strim stump, papa diddle there by the rig dum, rig dum bottom in the kai me yo.
They took him out and laid him on the ground.
Sing song, Paddy, won't you kai me yo?
He jumped up and bounded around.
Sing song, Paddy, won't you kai me yo? Kai mo kero, delto kero, kai mo kero, kai mo. Strim stump, papa diddle there by the rig dum, bottom in the kai me yo.
He rode off to Mouse's hall.
Sing song, Paddy, won't you kai me yo?
There he did both strut and ball.
Sing song, Paddy, won't you kai me yo? Kai mo kero, delto kero, kai mo kero, kai mo. Strim strum, papa diddle there by the rig dum, bottom in the kai me yo.
Oh, Missy Mouse, are you within?
Sing song, Paddy, won't you kai me yo?
Yes, kind sir, I sit and spin.
Sing song, Paddy, won't you kai me yo? Kai mo kero, delto kero, kai mo kero, kai mo. Strim stump, papa diddle there by the rig dum, bottom in the kai me yo.
Oh, madam, I have come to woo.
Sing song, Paddy, won't you kai me yo?
Marriage I must have with you.
Sing song, Paddy, won't you kai me yo? Kai mo kero, delto kero, kai mo kero, kai mo. Strim stump, papa diddle there by the rig dum, bottom in the kai me yo.
There has been here a fine young man.
Sing song, Paddy, won't you kai me yo?
I will have him if I can.
Sing song, Paddy, won't you kai me yo? Kai mo kero, delto kero, kai mo kero, kai mo. Strim stump, papa diddle there by the rig dum bottom in the kai me yo.
What will the wedding supper be?
Sing song, Paddy, won't you kai me yo?
Fried mosquito and a roasted flea.
Sing song, Paddy, won't you kai me yo? Kai mo kero, delto kero, kai mo kero, kai mo. Strim stump, papa diddle there by the rig dum bottom in the kai me yo.
Then we'll have the big black snake.
Sing song, Paddy, won't you kai me yo?
Pass around the wedding cake.
Sing song, Paddy, won't you kai me yo? Kai mo kero, delto kero, kai mo kero, kai mo. Strim stump, papa diddle there by the rig dum bottom in the kai me yo.
And I know a fat green bug.
Sing song, Paddy, won't you kai me yo?
Pass around the whiskey jug.
Sing song, Paddy, won't you kai me yo? Kai mo kero, delto kero, kai mo kero, kai mo. Strim stump, papa diddle there by the rig dum bottom in the kai me yo.
He rode off to where he dwells.
Sing song, Paddy, won't you kai me yo?
Twas at the bottom of a well.
Sing song, Paddy, won't you kai me yo? Kai mo kero, delto kero, kai mo kero, kai mo. Strim stump, papa diddle there by the rig dum bottom in the kai me yo.
She waded in up to her chin.
Sing song, Paddy, won't you kai me yo?
Wish she was a maid again.
Sing song, Paddy, won't you kai me yo? Kai mo kero, delto kero, kai mo kero, kai mo. Strim stump, papa diddle there by the rig dum bottom in the kai me yo.
The frog went hopping over the brook.
Sing song, Paddy, won't you kai me yo?
Lily white duck gobbled him up.
Sing song, Paddy, won't you kai me yo? Kai mo kero, delto kero, kai mo kero, kai mo. Strim stump, papa diddle there by the rig dum bottom in the kai me yo. Kai mo kero, delto kero, kai mo kero, kai mo. Strim stump, papa diddle there by the rig dum bottom in the kai me yo.
Keith Murphy and Tony Barron here on the Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio from the album On the Banks of Coldbrook, Atwood Family Songs from the Hills of Vermont, and that one, The Frog in the Spring. For information about the album, you can visit blackislemusic.com, and that's where you'll find information about Keith Murphy and his projects, the Northern Roots Festival, also the CD, and information about Child's Play. And if for information about Noel Sing We Clear, you can visit the Noel Sing We Clear website for information about the shows that are happening. The only New Hampshire performance is on December 9th at the Dublin Church, and they're going to be doing a show. There's a show in Brattleboro. They'll also be doing one in Burlington, but these are rare New England performances of Noel Sing We Clear, a real treat for the holiday season. You don't want to miss it. This is the Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio. Again, gentlemen, thank you very much for stepping in.
Our pleasure.
Thank you, Kate.
Thanks, Kate.
I'm Laura Kanoia. Tomorrow on The Exchange, grappling with guns. It's one of the most divisive issues in the U.S., and a new book called Gunfight looks at both the history and how it shapes our current dynamic, describing pro-gun groups bristling at any hint of regulation and gun control advocates seeking sometimes ineffectual laws. We'll look at America's long debate over the Second Amendment. Email us at nhpr.org and join us for The Exchange tomorrow morning live at 9 and again at 8 p.m. on NHPR.
Support for NHPR comes from you, our members, and Mascoma Savings Bank, serving the people and needs of the Upper Connecticut River Valley since 1899, online at mascomabank.com. And the Flying Monkey in Plymouth, presenting New England's own folk and blues guitarist, singer, and songwriter Chris Smither on Saturday, December 10th, tickets at flyingmonkeynh.com. And Hanover Street Chop House in Manchester, fine dining and inspired cuisine in a salon-like setting reminiscent of an old-world steakhouse. Menu and reservations at HanoverStreetChopHouse.com. I'm Kate McNally, and this is The Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio. Thanks for joining us tonight.